Well, good afternoon, Juneau. Just turned 3 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTOO News here in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon. Katie Bosler is going to drop by and tell us about UAS fall classes in a few moments. And then Pat Van Poole from Sequence is coming in. There's a skate contest tomorrow. He's going to give us the details on that. Dave Ringel will drop by the show later to tell us about the Juneau Freewheelers Tour of Juneau, which is going on, I think, this weekend. Weather looks like mostly cloudy, isolated showers tapering off today with the highs around 59, and then the word rain only appears with the word chance for the rest of the week through Thursday, so we're looking at not much rain. That's nice.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The United Nations in New York celebrated International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples Thursday by focusing on media. Reporter Jenny Monet has more.
Addressing a room full of journalists, diplomats, and media activists at the United Nations in New York, First Nations Chief Edward John began an afternoon of talks highlighting the vital role the media plays for Indigenous people. As chairman of the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, John says when it comes to addressing the needs of the world's estimated 370 million indigenous, all too often the mainstream media misses the mark.
When we hear and see stories about indigenous peoples, usually they're negative stories. They're usually of the dire situation of many of our people in our communities. And so we need to be able to balance off that with the contributions that indigenous people make globally.
In the 18th year since the UN began recognizing World Indigenous Day, it's the first time the theme has celebrated Indigenous media. For National Native News, Jenny Monet, United Nations, New York.
A run for sobriety and health kicked off on the Red Lake Nation in Minnesota recently. It continued for 4 days on a nearly 300-mile journey to the Fond du Lac Reservation. J.P. Rehnquist reports.
The Anishinaabe Sobriety and Health Runners arrived in time for the Saturday evening grand entry at the 34th Annual Meshkawazin Treatment Center Powwow. Red Lake Nation Chairman Floyd Buck Jourdain was one of the runners. Jourdain encouraged participants and the community by addressing his own struggle. Here's some of what he had to say, broadcast live over Fond du Lac Tribal Radio, WGZS-FM.
We want to thank the Meshkawazin Treatment Center. I see my old room over there. 27 years sobriety. It all started right over there.
Jourdain continued to say what an honor it was for him to run and that his inspiration came from the youth and elders, seeing them out running every day for 50 miles. A second group of runners, the Fond du Lac Spirit Run, traveled 42 miles across Fond du Lac Reservation in one day, arriving at nearly the same time with a similar goal, promoting health, unity, and healing in the community. On Fond du Lac Reservation, I'm J.P. Rehnquist for National Native News.
Wisconsin's Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa recently celebrated the opening of the first tribal national park in the nation at Frog Bay. Danielle Kading has more.
A sense of serenity lies under the forest canopy at Frog Bay Tribal National Park. Roughly 100 visitors marked its opening by padding across the mossy earth within the 88-acre stretch of land. Red Cliff Tribal member Katrina Warchowski says it's her first time visiting the park.
You come through this, you know, windy trail area and you get to enjoy this beautiful view of, I don't know, six islands and untouched shoreline and all these beautiful cedar trees, and because of the presence of the lake, you can feel the power behind it.
David and Marjorie Johnson of Madison sold the property to Red Cliff for half its worth last November. Johnson says he and his wife are pleased to see how the tribe is using the land.
I didn't want to develop it.
The tribe bought the land through a $488,000 grant from the Federal Coastal and Estuarine Land Conservation Program. Frog Bay is a sacred place, according to Red Cliff Tribal Operations Director Mark Montano.
A lot of our spiritual people can hear trees talk, can hear the plants talk. They're living beings. They're just not there for us to mow down.
A place Red Cliff intends to preserve for generations to come. For National Native News, I'm Danielle Kading at Frog Bay.
During this week in 1680, Okeawinge leader Popey led the Pueblo Revolt, Tribes in the Southwest successfully fought against Spanish colonists to protect their way of life and culture. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
And by the law firm of Sanosky Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 5 minutes and 46 seconds after 3 o'clock, to get very precise about the time. And you're in tune with KTOO News. Pat Moore, your host here for Juneau Afternoon. Let's take a quick look at that weather forecast and get some more details on what looks like a pretty good weekend for sure, and maybe into next week. So the rest of today, the Weather Bureau is saying that there were some isolated showers, and those are supposed to taper off at the highs around 59. Those southeast winds that are blowing the trees around at about 5, 6 miles per hour now should shift over to the southwest late in the afternoon. I'm assuming that seems like around 4 or 5. And then tonight we're looking at mostly cloudy with isolated showers this evening, slight chance of rain late. Lows around 49, southeast winds then 5 miles per hour tonight. And then Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain, highs around 61, southeast winds 10 miles per hour. But if that Saturday rain is just a chance, we're in pretty good shape. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, the chance of rain continues. The lows drop down to about the same in the 50s, low 50s. And then Sunday, we're looking at cloudy with scattered showers. Sunday night, cloudy. Monday through Tuesday night, partly cloudy. The word rain is not mentioned in Monday through Tuesday. And then Wednesday, partly cloudy. Again, that word is not mentioned. And Wednesday night, we're talking about the scattered showers returning, with those continuing through Thursday. So we're looking at, starting Saturday, we might have a little bit of rain, and then it'll taper off, and maybe the first part of next week is going to be just time to finish up the gardens and get things a little bit cleaned up that way. Hey, Katie Bowsler from up at the university has dropped into the studio, and she's going to help us analyze the situation for fall, the last minutes of fall registration before classes start on the 30th of August.
Yes. Hi, Pat.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah. How's you doing?
All right. You know, we're just sort of ramping up here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still summer, but classes start August 30th, Thursday, August 30th. And there are openings in several classes. Of course, most of the program students, people who have majors or full-time students, are already enrolled, set up for the fall. But if you just kind of are whittling away at that degree, or if you want to take a course or class or two, there are plenty of opportunities in all the schools at the University of Alaska Southeast. We just put out a press release that if you want details, you can just go to our website, uas.alaska.edu. It's right there. First thing on the homepage in the middle column. But we have openings in the School of Arts and Sciences, the School of Career Education, and the School of Management.
I noticed you did not mention too many openings over in the School of Career Education. It's actually a component with the School of Management now. Are there openings in career ed classes as well?
Yeah, career education. They have several openings, actually. They have openings in construction, design and planning, woodworking, cold climate construction, AutoCAD, diesel engines, applied marine hydraulics, CPR first aid. And then also there's some a night automotive kind of two-part course in automotive technology, auto electrical one, and suspension alignment. And those are being offered on Wednesday nights starting starting August 30th, and also there are some components of that also, I think, on Saturdays. But anyway, if you want more information, if you do go to our website, you can get all the details. If you click on Fall Course Schedule, and then there's sort of a drop-down menu in any area that course that you're interested in, you could just kind of go to automotive technology, and then you can find out more details about that. Also, in the School of Career Education, Pat, there's kind of a cool opportunity if you want to get training as a building energy and retrofit technician. You can get an occupational endorsement. It's called a BERT endorsement. And you can qualify possibly for payment of your tuition fees through a state grant. So if you want more information about any of these classes or the BERT occupational endorsement training, You could call the School of Career Education at 796-6121. And just a reminder to people, you know, we do have our Auk Lake campus, the Juneau campus, for most classes outside of career education, but all the career education classes are offered downtown out of the Technical Education Center, which when you're kind of going along Egan Drive, it's on the other side, I guess you'd say, that bridge that links the high school, it goes across Egan mm-hmm. Drive. Now, speaking of the School of Management, they have several classes with openings as well. And the business courses include Introduction to Management and Supervision, Buyer Behavior, which examines how and why we behave as buyers and consumers, and Implications for Marketing. That sounds kind of interesting. International Business. You also, if you're interested in learning how to write for the web or create a website, the Computer Information Systems program has a few courses with openings. Those include Design Fundamentals, Website Graphics, Design, HTML, and Web Scripting. And I know that that's kind of an ongoing, you know, technology and the software is constantly changing. So if people are interested, these would be great classes to get involved with. Also, what kind of caught my eye is associated with the School of Management is the Public Administration program. You know, we offer a master's degree in public administration, but you can take the odd course in public administration, and one that's being offered this fall is called Local and Global Sustainability, and that's the fundamentals and framework for sustainability decision-making related to institutional and natural resource and management issues. So that's a very timely course. And you know, whenever I start announcing these things, I think, wow, I would take that class and that class. Maybe that's why I work at a university, you know. It's just lifelong learning, that's for sure. And, of course, last but not least, our School of Arts and Sciences has several openings as well in Tlingit language instruction, art classes and printmaking and sculpture, media studies, geology, environmental economics, yoga, theater, outdoor studies including fly fishing and pack rafting and scuba diving. All those are all separate, not just one class. And you can hear more about the outdoor studies openings next week on a Juneau afternoon. Forrest Wagner, the head of the program, and Kevin Meyer, our English teacher / fly fisher who's teaching a fly fishing class, they'll be here on a Juneau afternoon at 3:45 next Tuesday, the 14th.
I know, I'm slated to talk to him.
Well, there you go.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, so I won't give anything away.
No. Well, maybe we'll conduct the interview out on the lawn and we can cast a few flies into the museum.
There
lawn,
you go. That's
lot.
The Ledoux Live Remote. Yeah, that would be great. And then also a special attention to a couple of classes that there has been some requests over the years for night classes in beginning painting and drawing. And our new art faculty, Ann Wedler, is honoring that. And she is offering a night courses in beginning drawing and painting. And the beginning drawing should be offered Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6:30 to 9:30 in the art studio out at the Auk Lake campus, and beginning painting will be offered Monday and Wednesday from 5:30 to 8:00. So we really want to get the word out about that. And then if you're more of a photographic artist, you know, with all these digital photos we're taking these days, we often don't print them out. But if you want to print them out and print them out well, you might want to take digital photographic printing. That's offered by a local freelance photographer, Ben Huff. And students can learn tactical techniques and how to create successful digital prints. He'll discuss with students color, editing, Photoshop, so you can get that kind of optimum output. And also they'll have Epson printers on hand to print out high-quality prints of your digital photographs. Now I want to take this class. See, it just never ends. Anyway, that's going to be offered Mondays from 5:30 to 8:00, starting the 10th of September. So you have a little bit more time on that since most of our classes are starting August 30th. But, you know, Pat, classes, especially career education classes, can start anywhere from late August till mid-October, even November. So it's definitely worth going to that schedule icon on the UAS homepage at uas.alaska.edu and checking it out. So that's the first place to look if you're interested in any of these classes. Or you can always call our admissions welcome counter at 796-6100.
Can you kind of, there's an online registration process that some people can use. Can you kind of walk through that just briefly to explain how that works?
No, actually.
No.
Okay. I don't usually do that myself.
Okay.
So I think that I really think the best step is for people to go to the website and start there. And if you have any questions, I would go ahead and call 796-6100. Or even just go out to the Occ Lake campus. We have a very helpful staff.
Yeah,
and we have a really cool, I should mention, chat feature. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can actually chat online with a real person who's right out there at the desk who can help you walk through that kind of thing.
And you're also set up as a one-stop shop. So if someone
yes.
wants to come in and register for classes, the whole thing is just right there in one little U-shaped setup.
Yes.
So that it's possible to do the registration, go over, pay fees.
Right.
If you have scholarship help or anything
yeah.
like that, it's right there all in one place.
Yeah, and also while we're talking about this, we still have major construction going on at the university to make it a pedestrian campus. So right now, if you do go out to the campus, you need to park in the parking lot, and then there's only one way to get on the main campus, which is there's a detour where you go by the cafeteria and kind of go to your right along the deck along Occ Lake. And then kind of in the middle of the campus there is that, we call it the Novotny One Stop, the Welcome Center
yeah.
in the Novotny building.
People who are used to going in the back way,
yeah.
The only place that'll take you now, I think, is to the chancellor's office. So it really doesn't get you to the main campus at all anymore, if you can even get
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little nutty right now.
The entrance is
yeah.
around on the back loop road.
Correct.
And you come up behind the library.
Oh, yeah,
into
yeah,
the
yeah,
large
yeah. You can't even get in on,
right.
on the that initial or original entrance, I should say,
mm-hmm.
by Occ Lake.
And
yeah.
before classes start, it's actually pretty easy to park up there. Once the classes start, then it gets a little more crowded with that one lot being the last one that's open now. So
mm-hmm.
that's going to be an interesting semester for lots of people who
yeah.
are used to the old ways of doing things. So when is that construction slated to complete? Do we know?
Well, it's supposed to be complete, of course, for the start of school. But, you know, it seems like it happens every summer around here. I live by Gastineau School, and
yeah.
I drive by and go, oh, my gosh, they've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there was news the other day that they're going to be
yeah.
constructing while the students are
yeah.
are starting to,
yeah.
to go to classes.
But they seem to be making good progress, and, you know, with this relatively dry weather that you were just announcing, we should be okay.
Mm-hmm. Through next Thursday anyway, it's likely to be very, very nice around
yeah.
here. Are there any other exciting things happening at the university campus that do not involve the starts of classes?
I've just been kind of focused on that right now.
Uh-huh.
So I know that we are just finishing up our research undergraduate education students. That's where we have marine biology mainly students and environmental science students from all over the country come to UAS for 6 weeks, work with our faculty, and do some really pretty incredible research. And they're actually doing their presentations as we speak this afternoon, and that's always a big hit during the summer on campus.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'm sure there's always something going on at UAS, but there'll be several things to just talk about coming right up, I'm sure, here
yeah,
in the next few weeks.
If I'm right,
weeks.
This weekend you're hosting the last of the STAR performances, the students,
oh, correct.
The student
yes.
art.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes,
I
the
think,
theater performances up at the Noise Pavilion.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I think there's the last one is Sunday afternoon, I believe, is Pirates of Penzance Jr.,
mm-hmm.
I think, was the last one that they
mm-hmm.
were going to do.
That sounds about
we
right.
had the cast here in
oh,
the
great.
Studio, and I
yeah.
Got a chance to meet them and talk to them about
yeah.
a week ago or so, when they
yeah,
just,
is,
just before they opened.
That is
so they're doing Romeo and Juliet, the Pirates of Penzance Jr., and I think there's still one more performance of Isaac Snow, the Bailer at the Back of the Boat, the partially Clinkett drama that the kids had to learn Clinkett language in order to be able to put on stage.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
it sounds great.
Yeah,
and that's a great stage out there at the Noise Pavilion. You know, you're looking over the glacier and the lake. It's
yeah.
quite spectacular.
And with the weather we're looking at for this weekend, it might be
yeah.
really wonderful to go to an outdoor theater
yeah.
presentation.
Yeah.
There's
well,
posters up all over town. Unfortunately, I don't have a schedule sitting here in front of me, but I think Perseverance's website has all of the times on the thing, and I think it's on your website as well in your calendar section. I'm pretty sure the times for the STAR thing. thing there's there. The acronym for the program is STAR. It's I can't remember exactly what it stands for, but anyway, that's always an exciting.
Yeah, I would point people at this point to the Perseverance Theater website, because unfortunately I don't see it on our website right now.
Okay. Well, I know it's on Perseverance, the Times, and everything, and I've seen posters just all over town. So I think there's a small fee for the performances. It's per performance, or you can get a ticket for the weekend, I believe, for all three.
Okay.
So, some of the young people who were in here certainly evoked a lot of talent as we were talking to them. I think they're doing a great job.
Oh, that's great.
Classes do open on the 30th for most of the starts, so mm-hmm. if you want to register for some of these, you need to get on it, because
that's
like 2 weeks from now, and
yes.
we got to get past the lines and all that sort of stuff. I guess 20 days, so that's
well,
a
right.
little bit
more. As a matter of fact, I do have, let's see, I think I have a date for you on that, and yes, the 23rd of August is the last day to pay your tuition and fees for the fall semester. But I think if you are signing up for some of those classes, like as I said, that start after the 30th, you'd have a little more time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Katie, thank you so much for dropping by and posting us on what's happening out at UAS.
Okay, thank you, Pat.
You bet.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 10th of August, 2012. It's the birthday of the poet Lawrence Binyon, born Lancaster, England, 1869, best known for his poem For the Fallen, which he wrote to honor First World War dead, which includes the lines, "They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them." It's the birthday of the poet Joyce Sutphen, born in St. Cloud, Minnesota, 1949, grew up on a farm near St. Joseph, Minnesota. She said, "Like many of the people I had read about, I set out on a long journey to find truth and beauty. As usual, the road led straight back to the beginning, home, country roads, the sun setting through the woods." It was on this date, 1846, the U.S. Congress passed legislation creating the Smithsonian Institution. James Smithson was an English scientist, the illegitimate son of a nobleman and a widow related to the royal family, born in secret in Paris, never married, spent his life traveling, getting to know great scientific minds, and shortly before he died in 1829, he bequeathed his estate to his nephew, but if the nephew died childless, Smithson wrote then, the money was to go to the United States for the foundation of an institution for the increase and diffusion of knowledge. The nephew died without heirs, and so the money came here. There was a big debate about the Smithsonian. The Federalists were in favor of it. The supporters of states' rights argued the Constitution didn't make any provisions for a national institution, but the Federalists won out. And then people argued about what Smithson meant by the phrase increase and diffusion of knowledge. Did he mean a research institute, an observatory, publishing house, library, museum, or what? And in the end, it became all of those things. Smithsonian includes museums of natural history, American history, fine and decorative arts, air and space technology, 16 museums in all, plus the National Zoo. And it was on this date in 1519 that Ferdinand Magellan set off to sail around the world. He left with a fleet of 5 ships and 270 men, left from Seville, heading west, crossed the Atlantic, sailed around South America through what later came to be called the Strait of Magellan, became the first European to enter the Pacific Ocean from the east, and he gave it its name, Pacific, because it was much calmer than the Atlantic. The fleet stopped off in what are now called the Philippine Islands, where Magellan got killed in a battle, April 1521. The remaining fleet went on without him, got back to Seville, 1 ship and 18 men, in September 1522. Here's a poem for today by Robert Creeley, Place to Be. Days the weather sits in the endless sky, the clouds drifting by. The winter's snow, summer's heat, same street. Nothing changes but the faces, the people, all the things they do, spite of heaven and hell or city hall. Nothing's wiser than a moment. No one's chance is simply changed by wishing, right or wrong. What you do is how you get along. What you did is all it ever means. Place to Be by Robert Creeley, from If I Were Writing This, published by New Directions Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, iPad users can download the three most recent issues of Poetry Magazine, celebrating its centennial in 2012, at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Written by Holly Vanderhaar, edited by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's 26 minutes after 3 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTOO News. I have a studio full of boarders here, and I don't mean people from the bookstore. I mean B-O-A-R-D-E-R-S. These are guys who go over to the skate park and get it on. And Patrick Van Poole from Sequence is sort of the ringleader of this whole thing, along with his buddy Guillermo Palma. And Guillermo and Patrick are planning another invasion of the skate park tomorrow. What's coming down?
We're going to do another skate contest. We are doing three this summer, which we've already done one last month, and this is going to be our second one. So we're kind of looking forward to it tomorrow, which is going to start hopefully around 3 o'clock. That will get everything going. So it should be a pretty fun event.
So Guillermo, you said you wanted to invite the Spanish community to this thing.
Yeah,
you're on.
por lo que hemos visto por los últimos años, la comunidad ha estado creciendo mucho, y creo que también la comunidad tiene que saber qué es lo que está sucediendo ahora en día. Y como Patrick decía, vamos a tener otro evento que se realizará mañana, que sería OS 11. Y el evento se estará realizando alrededor de la una, pero la competición comenzará a las tres.
So, was that about the same thing that Patrick just said?
Yeah, kind of the same thing.
Okay, thanks. Okay, and with them is Alex
Dornbuyer.
And Alex evidently was walking down the street, and these guys found him outside the studio with a board and asked him if he wanted to be on the radio. Is that, did I get it all correct?
Kind of. I was at the shop, actually. So, something like that.
So you weren't at the last show, and you aren't going to compete tomorrow because you have to work.
Yeah, I have to work.
So the question that arises automatically is, what are you doing here, Alex?
I'm on the radio.
Hey, all right. Okay, it's good. Okay. So, you are a boarder, though.
Yeah.
Do you use the skate park facility out there?
Yeah, more I like skating streets and stuff, like downtown.
Oh, okay.
But when I'm in the valley or it's raining, I go to the skate park a lot.
Okay. And is the skate park a good deal? Do we have a good skate park?
Yeah.
I'm not a skater, so
it
I don't
could be
know.
Better. It was better a few years ago, but it's still pretty good.
What made it better a few years ago?
More ramps and stuff. But
okay.
Still pretty good.
Why did they take some stuff out? For a reason?
Remodeled it. I mean, it's still really good, but, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not much into ramps. I like more like sidewalks and concrete. It's all wood, okay.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
Okay. So, Patrick, can you kind of describe what the facility is? I mean, how it works from a skater's standpoint?
Basically, our skate park is it's just an indoor facility. We're pretty lucky to have it since we're in Southeast Alaska, which it rains almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
So our park, I mean, it has three walls, it has a roof. Most of the time it stays dry. Come fall time, winter time, it's kind of hit or miss whether it's going to be wet in there because it condensates kind of like, I think they've kind of built like a man-made cave or something. But we're lucky we have it, and majority of the time it's dry, which is a pretty awesome place for kids to be able to go, so.
So what's the structure inside?
It's mostly Everything's made out of wood. The top sheeting is all skate light, which is pretty expensive stuff, but is designed especially for skateboards, which is pretty awesome. So it's just basically, it serves like a masonite, but it's definitely, it'll resist the weather, just rain, snow, whatever. And so it doesn't break down like a masonite would. So
you said you like concrete. Is that because of the way the surface works with the wheels? Or?
Yeah, and it's not as slippery, but I think it's just like an opinion.
Okay.
I mean, everybody's different. Everybody likes to ride something different.
Right. Guillermo, you board too?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And how is this skate park? Have you been boarded a lot of other places?
I've been to Alaska for the last 3 years, so uh-huh. I feel like the skate park needed something new, like not needed just have the same stuff every year. I think so, like the community or the skaters needed also start support more the things we have for skate. And I think so we need a little more things here. Like I've been telling Patrick all the time, I think so can be much better if we have a skate park in downtown also too, because the community in downtown is bigger. The child wanna play in some area. They wanna have something where they can just spend time, have fun. But it's thing that we don't have in downtown. Why the people have to go to the valley when they can be in downtown and play?
So I see
downtown.
Alex nodding here. You live downtown?
Yeah. He was giving to you this, trying to give you the example. He say, I like skating downtown.
Right.
But we don't have any location or any build, any skate park in downtown where we can practice. So.
Does anybody know how they funded the skate park?
I believe it was fundraising, maybe like. Must have been like almost 15 years ago or something, but it all, I think there was the Project 2000 group in the high school that they fundraised and they all kind of came together to get the skate park built, and then it was managed under Zach Gordon for like the last, I think, 15
oh, okay.
years
so,
or 12 years or something.
Yeah, and Zach Gordon's kind of quasi-governmental, so.
Yeah, they were running it, but now I think Parks and Rec is running. I'm not sure
okay.
all the politics of the skate park anymore, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I think it was originally fundraised by a group of people through the school, through the high school, and a bunch of skaters.
Okay, so you had 300 people come out to your last event.
We had around 300 people checking out the event yesterday, and we maybe had like 30 competitors broken down into three groups, maybe a little more.
Not yesterday, it was...
the last month.
Last month, okay.
Yeah.
So... Was there any discussion or interest in that group, do you think? Would that be a group to kind of start looking at pushing for a downtown park?
Yeah, I think just any kids that are progressively in the sport are definitely going to be the leaders of, like, being able to come up with a cool design and stuff, because they're kind of the ones on the next level for the kids that are kind of falling behind them. So
mm-hmm.
I think the people that are definitely progressing in a sport is a good person to help design or help push forward for something for the next generation of skaters.
Well, skateboarding is actually now an Olympic sport, isn't it?
I don't believe it's an Olympic sport,
it's an extreme sport.
It's definitely a mainstream sport now.
Right.
They have commercials and it's on TV like every day.
Yeah.
So it's like marketed commercially to. I mean, I think they even sell them at Fred Meyer's.
I don't want to do a commercial here, but Sequence, basically, you're able to run a store in Juneau that sells primarily skating equipment during the summer, right? And then you go to a different.
I would say the majority of the store is actually more of soft goods. That's just a lot of skateboarding brands. There's not much money in like the hard good aspect of any action sports stuff, but to be in that area, you got to have the hard goods. And I think the thing that pays the bills is the soft goods.
But there's like a following.
There's a huge following. It's a huge growing sport, and it seems like most people at some point in their life have been a skateboarder or have been into skateboarding stuff. So,
Guillermo, did working at Sequence bring you up here or?
No. So
okay.
It's kind of funny because I was at the skate park 3 years ago and I was skating and. Patrick just showed up with his uniform from the airport, and he asked me, hey, do you speak Spanish? I said, yes, I do. Hey, you should move to my apartment and just speak Spanish every day. And I say, who is this guy? Which is a skateboard. And I said, I started just hanging out and go to the skate bar, skate every day. And after that, he said, oh, I had a couple things with coming over at the shop. So I started hanging out more a sequence. And I don't know, it's like, it's life. It's like, I came to Alaska with my skateboard, and I made new friends, a family at the skate park. Like, everybody knows, everybody is friendly here. I'm feeling home. So,
so Alex, is there like a bunch of skateboarders downtown that sort of hang out?
Yeah, like every, like whenever I go skating, I see other skateboarders. Like, I'm like the only one out there doing it.
And you guys know each other, kind of?
Yeah, I know a few of them.
Yeah?
Like some of my friends come downtown because they live in, like, Lemon Creek area, and they'll come down here to skateboard.
Yeah. It's cool. If you weren't working tomorrow, you'd go to this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I get off early, I'll still check it out.
Yeah. So it starts at 3.
We're going to set up around 1.
How long does it have to last for Alex to get there?
I don't know what time he gets off work.
At 5.
At 5?
We'll be cleaning up the mess by then. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's probably going to take a couple hours, but we're going to set up at 1. We're going to try to have the contest kick off around 3, but usually it runs a little late, and then it takes probably a couple hours to get through it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as always, I wish you really good luck with this this program.
You,
you guys work hard to kind of put this thing together.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad you showed up with 300 people last time. That's
it was a good
outcome. That's like, we call that one success.
It's fun.
Hey, a little. Well, it's, I don't have board music, but I got surf music.
Okay.
It's close.
Close.
Minutes to 4, you're in tune with KTOO News. Pat Moore hosting today on Juno Afternoon. My next guest is here with me, but the music was because we were trying to remind you to drop by the Pipeline Skate Park. tomorrow at around 3 o'clock. They're doing another competition out there that Sequence is running the competition. Patrick Van Poole hosting the whole thing. And they did about 300 people the last time they did this. So it's a thing to do on what is promising to be a Sunday afternoon or a sunny Saturday afternoon. So then I guess you can watch the bikes go by this weekend as well. Dave Ringel from Juneau Freewheelers is here to talk to us about the Tour of Juneau.
Yeah,
so, talk right into that mic and tell us what's going on.
The Tour of Juneau is a four-stage bicycle race. There'll be people of all abilities competing, and we'll have two time trials and two road courses. Tonight, if you're at the Glacier, you'll see we'll start with the prologue tonight. Registration will start at 5:30, and at 6:30, prologues tend to be shorter time trials. This will be the shortest we've ever had. It's going to be exactly 1 mile out of fairly straight, fairly level, a little bit downhill, a little bit tailwind road from, and we'll leave the visitor center, go right to the end of the Tongass Forest Service. We've marked out a mile and see how fast somebody can go a mile. Tomorrow at 9 a.m., there will be the Eagle Crest Hill Climb where people can register from 8 o'clock on and on Eagle Crest Road at the large gravel pullout right before the road starts to rise. We're going to have a registration session at that will start at 8 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, we'll meet. It's about 4.5 miles from the starting point, which is where the road levels out after you've turned onto it, to the Eagle Crest parking lot. And the 4.5 miles can take you anywhere from 20 minutes to 30 or 40 minutes, depending on your fitness level. And we'll have people of all fitness levels. There's some beginners. We'll have probably the best cyclists in town usually come and compete for bragging rights for the fastest cyclist this year. After the Hillcrest, after the Eagle Crest Hill Climb in the morning, in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, we will have the North Douglas Time Trial. And that will start almost at the same area. We start at the bus turnaround at the base of Eagle Crest Road. We'll go out North Douglas Highway to the end. Turn around, and this year we're adding a wrinkle to the finish. Instead of finishing on the North Douglas Highway, when we get back to Eagle Crest Road, we'll take a right turn and finish at the registration area about a mile up the road and provide a nice little hill for the end.
At the end of the race, yeah.
Then on Sunday at 10 in the morning, we will have our road race, and that will start. Registration will be at the Auk Rec area. We will start at the ferry terminal and ride to Eagle Beach. We'll turn around at the last turnaround before the road construction begins and ride back to the Auk Rec area. We'll go over the hill and take a sharp right-hand bend into Auk Rec. And participants have the opportunity to take the long course or the shorter course.
Hmm. And the shorter course is?
The shorter course is 31 miles. And when you get to Auk Rec, you can finish. Then you can watch the expert riders on the longer course, because the longer course will include 6 laps of Auk Rec and the Glacier Highway, where they'll keep going through Auk Rec, take 2 right-hand turns, go up the hill, take a right-hand turn, come back down. And we found that if we do it one time, you'll end up with a group sprint. But if you do it a couple times, it'll provide a little bit more fitness challenge for those looking for one.
So fitness challenge is an interesting phrase for exhausting yourself on a bicycle, David. So how many people are participating in the or do you anticipate will be participating in the event?
Last year we had 35.
Okay.
And there usually are more for the time trials than for the road race and the hill climb. But we can get on good weather, which looks like we're going to have, we can get upwards of, I think the most we've ever had is 45 to 48 riders. And there are two different types of events. The prologue and the time trial are individual events. Riders will start at 30-second intervals, and we start them, usually they're seated, so the slower riders start first, and they get done, and then the faster riders follow behind them. And when there's 30 to 40 riders, usually the fastest riders don't get to pass everybody by the end, but everybody finishes about the same time. Drafting is not allowed. It's a little less expensive for insurance purposes for the club.
Drafting.
So time trials, you could use aero bars, you could use aerodynamic wheels if you have them, you could use a skin suit if you're crazy enough to have one, and the bicyclist against the clock.
Okay, so now we got to talk about some of this stuff that you just talked about. Drafting is?
Well, the other two events, the hill climb and the road race, you're allowed to work in a group. And so bicyclists who are experienced will ride together in a pack. And when you're drafting behind somebody, you save a huge amount of energy. And generally, the packs tend to go faster than an individual can go by themselves because you get one person on the front for 15 to 30 seconds, and then they rotate to the back and rest. And it's a different type of bike riding. It can be a lot of fun. It provides some interesting this is the type of riding you see on television when you watch the Tour de France. There's strategy involved. We let the younger people break away and go up the road and slowly reel them in, but every once in a while, there's a new person in town who's extremely strong who manages to surprise us. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful road to ride. So some people will ride with the group as long as possible and then decide to ride home by themselves when they get too tired. Other people will just ride for a good workout. And then there'll be a group of competitive people that will probably stick together even over the series of hills we do, especially if there's a southwest wind and you have a headwind on the way back.
So let's see, for Saturday or is this Sunday?
Sunday is the road race.
Okay, southwest winds 10 miles per hour, but that's for the whole area. So
right.
You may not see exactly what that's doing when you get out the road. So you mentioned something called aero bars. What's that?
Well, when they do the time trials, riders are allowed to put straight bars on their handlebars and put their hands in the aero bars. It allows them to be less – it cuts down on the wind resistance and gives them more pedaling power.
I've seen people riding with these on the side of the road. And
yes.
Basically, it lets you lean forward and pull your elbows in.
Pull your elbows in. You have a lot less wind resistance. You actually have a more powerful pedaling stroke if you're set upright. You don't have as much handling. You would never want those type of bikes to be in a group of bicyclists. They're not allowed in road races.
Mm.
But in a time trial, you can put the aero bars on, and it does make a difference.
And then you said aerodynamic wheels. Is that these?
Every once in a while, you'll see a wheel that has a cover on it. So then instead of spokes, it's solid, and that's an aerodynamic wheel. It eliminates the drag. It makes you go faster unless there's a crosswind.
Right.
In which case, it can be a little bit tricky. But it looks like the winds aren't going to be that.
No, 10 miles per hour is the maximum number.
Yeah, 10 miles an hour wouldn't be that. But
we've
had some years where there have been real strong winds, and then it can get tricky unless you're a very experienced bicyclist.
Okay, so I just checked here, and we have the updated forecast. So let's see what we've got. We'll jump ahead here to Saturday night, or to Saturday. That's your...
That's for the hill climb in the morning
the
and the time trial.
So they're saying mostly cloudy on Saturday with patchy fog in the morning, a chance of rain and the highs around 62 with east winds at 5.
Perfect
and then
weather.
Saturday night they're saying rain is likely now. And Sunday showers are likely. Sunday the highs around 59, southeast winds 10 miles per hour. And then Sunday night mostly cloudy, chance of showers, lows around 50, southeast winds 10. Monday it's partly cloudy, Monday night mostly clear, Tuesday night partly cloudy. So Monday and Tuesday and on into Wednesday, and according to this Thursday night, they're talking about a chance of rain. So we've got
this sounds like some of the best weather we've had this mild winter that we're calling summer.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like 65 or so for your.
Actually ideal conditions for bike riding.
Yeah.
You're not going to get too hot. The winds aren't going to be too strong.
Yeah.
Roads will be.
So you should see some world class Juneau times here.
One of the interesting things that has happened over the years is there's been back and forth between Juneau and Whitehorse, and there's a significant number of Whitehorse riders who are coming down here. A lady up there actually has a youth cycling group, and as part of that, she also has two hand cyclists, and so we offer youth the opportunity to race at $5 a race if they're under 16. There's going to be a significant number of them. So if there are youth who want to try out, they can come in. We offer a discount. The other thing is with the hand cyclists, I think the hill climb and the time trial might be modified a little bit because they can't climb Eagle Crest the whole way. I think we're going to do something in the upper parking lot for the hand cyclists and maybe some of the youth riders, and we might have a slightly shorter course for the youth time trialists.
David, how many members does Juno Freewheelers have? Do you know?
Active members, probably about 50.
Hmm.
40 to 50. It's varied from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Some years we've had a very good touring group, and other issues that have made people who feel strongly about cycling support the group. And we've helped promote bike lanes in town and some of the cycling facilities, which we take for granted now, but 20 years ago were not here.
Now, there's a big, really almost world-class race between Haines and Haines Junction each year, I think.
The Kelowna Chilkat Bike Relay.
Yeah, yeah. Is the Juno Freewheelers involved in that?
Well, one of our members has been president of the board for I don't know how long, but and before him, I was helping out on the board. So we have a freewheeler member on the board. We contribute some money, but we also provide, and it actually started with John Ray in the second or third year of the race. We help provide some of the logistical planning for the Kelowna Chilkat Bike Relay. It's 150 miles, mostly in Canada, but it sort of, when it first happened, there were 140 people, and maybe 20 of the people had road bikes. Now, it's sort of the opposite percentage. There's still a lot of people who ride in mountain bikes, but there's a significant number of people who found out how fun it was and take road bikes. And so we support that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's a road bike?
A road bike is one of those bikes with narrow tires, usually has curved handlebars.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the saddles look ungodly small so that they'd be impossible to be comfortable until you ride them and you understand why the saddle is small.
Uh-huh.
So a road bike is generally for pavement. It generally goes faster because it has less road resistance. A lot of people in town have mountain bikes, which have the knobby tires and shock absorbers, and you can ride over anything, and you don't have to worry as much about it. You can take them on trails.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to worry about glass and rocks on the road as much as you do if you have thin tires.
But the road bikes do have the thin tires to eliminate rolling resistance?
Well, They're a lot easier to pedal. They go faster, and in the right situation, they can be really enjoyable to ride. And we've had people, for fitness purposes, ride mountain bikes for some of the events.
Yeah. When is that race from Haines to Haines Junction?
It's always the third Saturday in June.
Ah, okay. So.
And they cap it at 1,200 riders. And usually it's right at that. This year they actually had to close registration early because they maxed out their registration.
So the registration has already happened for next year's event?
The registration for the Kelowna Relay starts in March.
Ah.
And usually early registration ends in May, and they keep the registration open until it fills up. There's a real this year there was a real serious push among Canadians. So there were a huge number of Canadians. In fact, one of the Canadians who was a regular in the Kelowna Chilkat bike race for the first 10, 15 years was recently racing in the Olympics as a track racer. And he was considered the world champion in one of the events. Didn't quite do as well as he had hoped in the Olympics, but it's sort of interesting to see familiar faces in different places who started bicycling in the Yukon or in Southeast Alaska.
So let's recap when people have to be where for the events that are coming up this weekend.
Registration will start an hour before the events. Tonight there is the prologue at 6:30. That will be at the by the Glacier Visitor Center. We ask that people not park on the road, park in parking lots, or if it's a beautiful day, ride your bike over. It's a 1 mile time trial that starts at 6:30. Saturday morning. At 9 o'clock will be the Eagle Crest Hill Climb. At 3 o'clock will be the North Douglas Time Trial. And registration starts an hour before the event. And then on Sunday, there will be the Auk Rec Road Race, which will start at Auk Rec. Registration will be at Auk Rec, and it will start at the ferry terminal go out to Eagle Beach and then end at Ock Rec, depending on how many times you want to go around the circle.
Dave Ringel, Juno Free Wheelers, the big events this weekend for the Juno, the Tour of Juno. Thank you so much for bringing all this to our attention. I hope you get a good turnout.
Thank you.
Let's fly home here.
On your mark, get set, go! Join Cancer Connection on Saturday, August 25th for the Beat the Odds Women's Race Against Breast Cancer. Pre-register before noon on August 24th for the 5K run or 2-mile walk at the following locations: Foggy Mountain Shop, Pavitt's Health and Fitness, JRC The Alaska Club, and Nugget Alaskan Outfitter. You can also register the morning of the race, which starts at 9 a.m. on August 25th at Riverbend School. Together we can beat the odds. This message brought to you by Cancer Connection.
Lionel Hampton's band in the background there helping us fly home from the show. This is KTOO Juno, and we broadcast on 104.3 FM on downtown Juno and Douglas. We also broadcast on a set of translators throughout the area in the valley. In Auk Bay, you can tune to K276 AF at 103.1 on your FM dial. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO provides a clearer signal at 101.7. Gustavus hears our signal at 88.1 MHz over K201 AM. K220BT serves Hoonet 91.9, and Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. You can listen to KTOO at 89.9 MHz on K210AS. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau. We're on digital channel 871. Our sister stations KRNN and KXLL are on 872 and 873. And we're also online at www.ktoo.org.